Good morning. You ever take stock in yourself and you look and you say, maybe I'm not the Christian I ought to be. Maybe I could do better. Maybe there's something I could change about my life. There's always a time for change in every Christian's life. We don't want to grow backwards. We want to grow forward. So let's talk about that this morning. A time to change. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Interesting that the writer of Hebrews would have to tell these guys, Christians, don't be sluggish. Don't be lazy. Don't be tired. There are a lot of things for you to do. I remember one of the prophets that was in trouble with the king and queen. And he went and hid in a mountain. And God spoke to him. He says, get up. I've got more work for you to do. So hiding out just doesn't work. Can't go into the belly of a fish to get away from God. That doesn't work either. We always end up having to do what it is that we need to be doing in front of God or for God. So here's the verse. So that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Well, there are promises. Promises by Jesus, promises by God. There are promises that say that we can live eternally. We can live eternally in a place that's more than completely awesome. We can be with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit forever and ever and ever, time without end. It is the most perfect place that we could ever or not even imagine. But it is there and it's waiting for us. So there are promises that are being made to us. Even right now, we haven't gotten to heaven, obviously. And so we live this earth living on those promises. It's called hope and living by faith. So we walk through life that way. You know, one of the things that I think about sometimes is, what convinced me to be a Christian? So what convinced you to be a Christian? There was a time when you were not a Christian, obviously, of course. And then somebody got a hold of you with the gospel and started talking to you. It may have taken a long time to convince you of the things that you now believe. It may have taken you a short time. Depends on what you believe when you go into the study. I had already believed in God. I knew that the Bible was correct. So it didn't take a whole lot of convincing for me to become baptized for the remission of my sins, because that was probably my one stumbling block. That was probably my one thing that I had to get across and get over. But I did, obviously. And so if that's the case, then what is it just about you yourselves personally? What caused you to be a Christian? I'm not talking about the fact that mom and dad says you need to be a Christian. I'm not even talking about the fact that the preacher said you need to be a Christian. You need to be baptized. I'm not talking about the fact that mom and dad, the preacher, the church, everybody says that you need to be a good person to be a Christian in order to go to heaven. No, I'm talking about what's in your own mind, what's in your own heart, that one thing that got you and said, ah, this is it. That's the information I need that I can give myself to God. And then, of course, you did. Your faith grew. You repented. You confessed. Indeed, you were baptized for the remission of your sins. And you started living a life that was pleasing to God. But then after a few hiccups and bumps in the road, a few sins down the way, you say, maybe I'm not doing this as well as I could have or should have. Maybe I need to rethink some things. Maybe I need to re-gauge my life. And I really need to pick it up and engage my life in Jesus even more. Jesus really has to become the focus of my life, else I don't have anything at all. Wow, can you imagine not having anything at all? You're just dead and then you go to hell because you didn't give yourself to Jesus? You even gave yourself to Jesus in baptism, but then you kind of sort of took your baptism back and said, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to go live my life in the world. You can't afford to do those kinds of things. Hell is a real place. Heaven is a real place. So let me get back to my original question. Did you want to be a Christian because of heaven? Did you want to be a Christian because of Jesus? Did you want to be a Christian because of God Most High? Did you want to be a Christian because, excuse me, you saw some other people that you just admired and they were Christians? But there was something in your mind that turned those gears so that you said, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. And I want you to help me get to heaven. I want you to help me get back to where I belong. That is, my home in heaven with you. John 14 and verse 1, Jesus says, In my Father's house are many dwelling places, rooms, mansions, depending on which translation you have. And I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and get you to myself. I will gather you to myself. Excuse me. And there you will be with me always. For we're not true, I would have told you. Excuse me. So Jesus makes this promise that there is a home waiting for us in the heavenly realm. And I could go into all the wonderful things about heaven. I could tell you all the wonderful things about Jesus. I could tell you, well, probably not true. But I could tell you a lot of things about how wonderful Jesus is, how wonderful God is, how amazing the Holy Spirit is. But what we want to do is to understand what it was before we were Christians. It says here in Hebrews 6 and verse 12, it said, don't be sluggish. Don't be slow in moving. I had a professor in college. I was stuck at a bunch of different desks over here up against the wall. And we were supposed to get up there and do something, like on the board. And I was just trying to wade myself through the desk. And you know, he said the strangest thing to me. He says, do not ye move like a turtle. And I thought, well, I'm doing the best I can. But don't be sluggish. You understand what I'm saying? But imitators of those who through faith and patience. Now look around. Look around right here. Maybe somebody in your life that has passed. Was there ever anyone excuse me, that you thought of as a stalwart, good Christian? And did he impress you? Or did she impress you? And did you ever say, man, she's got it. She is a Christian. I want to be just like her. She is so sweet, so kind, so loving, that surely she is the answer to what Jesus left upon this earth. She is a Christian in reality. Or the same thing with some man that you might have revered. But this is what the writer of Hebrews is telling his people. He's saying, don't be sluggish, but be imitators of those who through faith and patience and do what? They inherit the promises. So let me ask you this. Think about it for just a moment. Do you really want heaven? If you don't, it's time for a change. Here's the second point. Do you really want to be a Jesus person? Do you really want to be a Jesus person? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. Scripture has this. For we know that if our earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God. A house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. Well, what's that verse all about? We could go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and we could read on the rest of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. But I think it's somewhat fairly self-sufficient by itself. Excuse me, I don't know why I'm coughing so much. Excuse me. All right, so if our earthly tent, that is our dwelling place, and I'm not talking about the fact that I live at 1305 Highland Drive. I'm not talking about that. My house is the thing which encases my soul. It is the thing which gives me a home to my real self. And you know what? That tent is going to fall by the wayside. It will rot. It will go away. It will cease in its functions. It will not be able to carry on my life. So it will go to the wayside. But my spirit, my soul, will continue on. And if that's the case, if we're Christians, excuse me, we have a building from God. That is our heavenly home. A house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. No, I'm just giving you John 14 and verse 1, but you know, this speaks to a time when we're going to pass. It's appointed unto men to pass or to die once, and then after this, the judgment. So we understand and know, and it's by obvious evidence that we're going to pass from this life. And so what is it as you're drawing closer to that time? Do you give thought to being what kind of a Christian God would want you to be? Do you give thought to saying, you know, I need to be more involved with those folks down there at church. I need to socialize with them more. I need to, thank you, sir, you're very kind. I need to visit with them more. I need to be the kind of person that I need more. I need to do those things that God would want me to do. Excuse me for just a moment. You're a good fellow, Arnie. I might keep you around. All right, so we know that if our earthly tent, which is our house, is destroyed, that means we're going to die, that we have one that's made without hands. That is heaven. And so as you move through this life, once again, are you really being the person that Jesus wants you to be? Now, there are like a bazillion different verses we can talk about. You can go to the Beatitudes and read verses 1 through 10. You can go on down and say, we are the light of the world. Our job, our focus, our responsibility is to give glory to God. We are to serve others. Our righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Otherwise, we will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out many demons and so forth? And Jesus say, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness, you who practice sin. How would you like to wake up and be sentenced to hell? Is that a movement factor for you? Is that something that you say, no, I don't want that? And you can say that knowing this in your mind, cognizantly, you got this down. You got this down perfect. I do not want to go to hell. But do you ever live like you're afraid of hell? As a Christian, I mean. Because you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Or you said you would in your confession. I confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so that means that you're going to give your life to Jesus. You've made the confession. But if you don't do those things that God expects you to do, even after you've been a Christian for 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40, 50 years, did you really make that commitment? Or did the commitment just fall on the wayside somewhere? And I'm not saying that you're all horrible people. You know what I'm saying. Y'all are good people. You get that. You know that. What I'm saying is, are you truly a Jesus person or not? If I were to ask you this question, how well do you know Jesus? Well, I know him pretty well. And then I'd start asking you questions. I'd say, well, what's he look like? Well, I don't know. It's just, you know, Bible description. I don't have anything more than that. Well, what is he like? Who is he? Well, he's the Son of God. And he came to this earth to seek and to save the lost. And we might say to ourselves, or to the person, we might say, all right, so if that's the case, if he finds the lost, then what happens? You go, oh, well, then once we're saved, then we go through life and we live a life of service to Jesus Christ and to others. And then the obvious question is, what does that look like? What does that look like to give yourself to Jesus? Oh, well, it means I get all of the garbage of the world out and I put all the love of Jesus within me. And so then that I love my God. See how long it took us to get to that statement? I love my God and I love my Lord and I want to go to heaven. And so Jesus is like God the Father. And then you would say, what? Well, what is that like? Well, he is compassionate. He is gracious. He is very caring. He provides. He relieves or removes diseases from us while he was here upon this earth. And when it's all over, said, and done with, by his grace, by his goodness, by his mercy, we're going to enter into a perfect relationship with him in heaven. And then I might ask you this question as well. But is that the way you live? Do you live like that's the case? Do you live like, I am going to go to heaven. And I know that I'm going to go to heaven because I keep his commandments. You can read the book of 1 John, man, that's all through the book of 1 John. We can know that we know him if we keep his commandments, if we keep his commandments. Once we've got that down, we know that we are known and we do know Jesus Christ. And we know that our home in heaven is secure. Do you really want to be a Jesus person? It'll cost you. It'll cost you everything. If you want to be rowdy at work or at school, you got to give that up. If you want to be rowdy out in the public, you got to give that up. If you're still cursing at your spouse or your children, you've got to give that up. And if you're a child with parents, and if you curse at your parents, you got to stop doing those kinds of things. There are horrible sins still being committed by people who say they are Christian people. And that's like saying, I'm really a nice guy, except that my name is Mr. Putin. All right? I'm really a nice guy. I just happened to invade Ukraine last week. All right? Really a nice guy. So who's going to believe that? Nobody. And so the same thing. If you're not showing evidence of being a Jesus person, then I would simply ask you the question, are you really then a Jesus person? If you're not being the kind of person you need to be, or who Jesus wants you to be, then can you rightfully claim that you are being truly a Jesus person? Now here's the other verse that I wanted to cover this morning. It's found in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Some of you have been members here for a very long time. Some of us have moved around from congregation to congregation, city to city, perhaps state to state, for work situations and whatever the case might be. Nevertheless, whatever the case might be, here we are. We are in this congregation right here, right at this moment. And everybody sitting to the left or to the right of us, they're members of this church. They're members of the body of Christ that meet in this location. Do you remember Acts 20 and verse 7? That the disciples met together, they assembled, they came together. And what was their purpose? To break bread. And that doesn't mean it's a common meal. That means like to partake of the Lord's Supper. And if I take the Lord's Supper with all of you folks, what does it say about me? What does it say about you? Not that I'm Mr. Worthy, not that I'm super Christian, or not that you are super Christian. I'm just saying that we all share in the blood of Jesus Christ. Who do you share blood with? Well, that's it. A weird question, Garland. Why in the world would you ask that? Well, think about it. Who do you share the body of Jesus Christ with? People that I call my brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, how often do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? What do you mean by that? How often do you get together? How often do you communicate? How often do you talk? How often do you hear the words, man, I am struggling with whatever it is that you're struggling with? Or let me tell you what happened to me this week. It's a really great news. Who do you have to share that with? You know, there are some people in this congregation who are lonely. You know that? And they're hurting because they're lonely. And even though I tell you it doesn't take much but a phone call or a card to say, you know, I've been thinking of you, care about you, whatever the case might be. Something to recognize that one of these people in the congregation is my brother or sister in Christ. And I've got to be able to encourage that person to get to heaven. I've got to be an imitator. I can't be sluggish in this. I am one who will pick up my responsibility. It's not the preacher's job only to have people in his home. It's not your job only to have people in your home. But on the other hand, if it doesn't get done, who's going to do it? Right? Are you living like a real Christian? Are you living like you love the people that you say you love? You expect to go to heaven? Then you got to act and live the Christian life. You got to be the person that Jesus would want you to be. Look at this verse. I give thanks to you. I give thanks to God for you people in Thessalonica. Why? As because your faith is greatly enlarged. Well, you know, when we first started, we were Gentiles, and we listened to the gospel, and you know, our faith kept growing. It didn't stop. It kept growing. So our faith is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And what else does he say? The love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. How much do you love somebody sitting back there in the back? How much do you love somebody sitting back there in this right up here, in this corner right up here? And you go back to the rows and you fill up the rows this way. How much do you love that person? You say, that's my brother, that's my sister. Yeah, I know, but what are you doing with them? Are you sharing your life with them? Or are they sharing their lives with you? It's not going to happen. If you want a completely functioning church, then you're the church. And you've got to be the complete functioning church. It doesn't make any difference what Joe does. It's what I must do. And I want to do it because I serve the Lord Jesus Christ and I want to go to heaven to see my God. Really simple lesson, isn't it? What do you want this morning? What do you really, really want? What does God have in store for you?